This is the November 6th edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Greg Johnson. He's with TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing here in Champaign County, Illinois. Logan Kimmel joins us from Roche Ag in Naperville, Illinois. And Sherman Newland is here from Risk Management Commodities. That's a division of Zahner Ag Hedge. He is out of Hudsonville, Illinois. Thanks much for being with us, to each of you. Let's get some information from you about what we should discuss for the day. Sherman, let's begin with you. What's on your mind?
There's been quite a few things in the news here recently, haven't there? I mean, obviously it's the big bean rally. You know, what should producers be doing with it? Can we continue the rally, or is this thing over with? Are we going to see a pullback? You know, and then we got the crop report next week. We got to deal with that, see what that comes out with. So there's a lot of things that are coming up, that producers need to be aware of and maybe take advantage of some of these opportunities.
Logan Kimmel at Roche Ag on your list.
Yeah, I think top of the list would be just what Sherman said, opportunities that we see available to producers now that you've had a nice rally led by the beans. You know, what does that look like for bushels that maybe weren't marketed versus a month ago, and what you can be doing up at these levels even after today, as well as starting to sit down and possibly look at some 2026 ideas and strategies given the rally we've had there as well.
And from you, Greg Johnson at TGM.
Well, in addition to what Sherman mentioned on the USDA crop report next Friday, I think another government report that has not been released due to the shutdown is the Commitment of Traders report. And I think the market is kind of, feeling its way around, have has the managed money, which was short prior to the government shutdown. Have they bought back their positions? Have they gone long? We really don't know for sure. And I think that uncertainty helps us in a way. It leads to higher highs on days when there's good news. It can lead to lower prices on exaggerated lows on days when we have some negative news. But I think that's one thing that the market has not quite figured out yet. And then the other thing is the Supreme Court is taking up hearings on whether Trump has the authority to impose all these tariffs in non-emergency situations, or is this really an emergency? And so what impact would that have if the Supreme Court rules one way or the other on whether those tariffs are in the Trump wheelhouse as far as his ability to put those on other countries? So I think those are two things that we should talk about as well.
USDA, of course, was set, or should have been set, on Monday to release the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates along with the November Crop Production Report. It will be released instead on Friday, the 14th next week. And then the Commitment of Traders has not been released, and I don't think that's on the list of items that will be coming out from USDA, unless I've simply missed it. Greg, am I correct in that?
You are correct, and like I say, that leads to quite a bit more, I think, uncertainty in the marketplace.
With higher highs and lower lows, we'll get to that in a moment. I will remind you that coming up in the month of December, if you visit our website at willag.org, willag.org, you will find a way right now to sign up for the December 12th Farm Assets Conference to be held in Bloomington. This is part of the Farm Doc Team Conference Series over the week or over the winter months, a full day's event. You can find all the details for it. The cost is $80. Registration is available today at willag.org for it, and along with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits, which will take place across the state. We'll start with Farm Assets December 12th on a Friday, and then on Monday we'll be in DeKalb with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. We'll move to East Peoria on Tuesday, that week. And on the 17th of December, we'll be in Mount Vernon. You can sign up for any or all of those at WILLAG.org. So let's pick up where we left off. You were talking about higher highs and lower lows, Greg. The move on Thursday was pretty sharp, though certainly not near a full move for any single day, potentially. Do you think that it was exacerbated by the lack of the ability of folks to know where traders are committed?
Yes, I think so. And I think the other thing is, what's the interpretation of the framework trade agreement that the U.S. and China signed? Depending on who you listen to, the interpretation could mean that China has to buy 12 million metric tons this year and 35 each of the following subsequent 3 years. Or there's a clause in there supposedly that says if the market price is conducive, which means some people think that means if South American beans are cheaper, then China does not have to buy the beans in those quantities from the U.S. So obviously two different interpretations with two huge different price forecasts. If China has to buy those beans, sure feels like we could go higher. If China is only going to buy beans if they're cheaper than Brazil, maybe they don't need to go a whole lot higher at this point.
Sherman Newland, as we heard during the closing market report on Thursday afternoon, even with the losses on Thursday, soybeans in Brazil were still 20 cents below those of the United States. Is this of a concern for you?
I mean, China went out and bought 20 cargoes of beans for December here just a day or two ago. I mean, so yeah, I mean, you know, to Greg's point, you know, to me, you can't make China buy necessarily. They may say they're going to do something, but I think, you know, you have to watch what they do. You know, and so far we really haven't seen them come in and do a lot of buying. So, and I think that's part of the reason we sold off today. You know, the market has had a big run up. Hopefully producers took advantage of that, you know, and technically we're getting pretty overbought. And, you know, you throw on top of that, you know, what's going on with SCOTUS and, you know, what was going on in some of these other markets that concerned, you know, like the stock market was selling off quite a bit today. There's, you know, all kinds of worries that's going on about what might happen with these tariffs. So I just think the sell-off was just probably due. I mean, is the sell-off over with? That's hard to say, but I sure do hope producers took advantage of some of this big run-up.
Logan Kimmel, if they did not take advantage of it or full of advantage of it, and they're looking at a 26 or 28 cent loss in the marketplace, should they still consider something?
Yeah, I mean, I think one trend change here is this, the volatility we've seen step into the bean market and the swings in price, and due to a couple things. One, I mean, there has to be rotations here in the money flow, COT reports that we're not getting, but I think that's largely part of the dollar rally we've seen on the board, at least in the bean market, causing gaps and, you know, down 26 cent days. So if you're a producer and we see swings, you know, maybe back to the upside, and you haven't done anything on this rally on your bean crop, that, you know, maybe you got to put in town to store or start paying some bills here for inputs, this might be the opportunity to get caught up and increment up your percent sold on the bean market, given, you know, the trend change that we've had. We kind of busted out of a year and a half sideways, just bull market, went right up to the top end of that. So if you've been waiting to sell, this would be the area that probably overbought, but that sometimes presents opportunities if you're holding on to cash grain to get some of that marketed after a dollar rally in the beans.
Greg Johnson, over the last 2 weeks, did producers, and maybe longer than that actually, manage to make additional bean sales, or did they stay pat?
No, I think they've done a pretty good job of making some sales on this rally. The question is, you know, what percent, you know, if they were basically 0% sold prior to this rally, the first month of harvest, the price was still around $10. And the DP charges, the carrying charges were pretty prohibitive. So I think a lot of people decided to sell beans across the scale at $10 rather than pay those storage charges. And obviously, in hindsight, they wish they would have held on. But I think a fair amount of beans got sold at $10. And then when we hit $11 cash, I think farmers did a good job of selling beans there as well. So percentage wise, you know, we may be 50% sold now on soybeans. And if a farmer is 50% sold, maybe he wants to wait and see how this all plays out, or at least have offers in, because it, at this point, with so much uncertainty, could beans go 50 cents higher? Yes. Could they go a dollar lower? Yes. So with that kind of a range and that kind of uncertainty, maybe you just revert back to, am I making money at a certain level? If I can get $11 beans sold and I grew 75 bushel beans, that's $800 an acre gross. And if that pays the bills, you know, we can't try to predict the high of the market. That's just going to be impossible in this kind of a scenario. So maybe you just go back to locking in a profit and moving on down the road.
Sherman Newland with the center west of Brazil, teetering on the place by which they might move into dry conditions that impact them. I mean, they have been dry, but they've not been impacted really yet. How do you talk to producers about making soybean sales, if that's what you want to do, that is?
Right. I mean, yeah, we're going to see if they end up having a weather problem down there or not. I mean, their acres are going to expand. I mean, I think their crop was bigger last year, I mean, than what everybody thought. So because they're still exporting beans in, you know, for December. So that's a big cushion that they're going to have. And I think you have to look at it that way. The acreage expansion, you know, that they're having, the yields that they've been getting. Yes, can we get a weather scare rally? Absolutely. But I, you know, I agree with Greg. I think you got to have some orders in up there for you know, old crop soybeans, you know, at certain levels, and just be happy with those levels because we're a dollar something off our lows. And, you know, a lot of beans, I think, did get sold over the scales because there weren't, you know, a lot of hope that we could go up here this much. Even though they're still, it's better than it was, but it's still not what I would call highly profitable levels, but it is better than where it was at, because I think a lot of farmers, at least in my part of the world and parts of Illinois, didn't have the best yields, for soybeans. So that makes it even harder. So I, you know, I know everybody wants to get as much as they can, for their soybeans, but, we have to be realistic and know that, you know, maybe China won't come through with this buying. Maybe this, you know, maybe the market sells off because we don't see any sales. And so I think taking advantage of this, whether you're buying puts or making some cash sales, I think you have to do something here. Because we could, you know, fall back down 40 or 60 cents. There's a gap down there, that could get filled. And then we just kind of maybe consolidate until we see what China does do.
We'll come back and talk about that more. There are gaps there, either one or two, depending on which chart you're looking at on soybeans. Greg Johnson, I do want to talk about harvest time sales. Going into harvest, in general, most of those that we talked to were thinking, well, the marketplace is telling you probably out of, If you need money after harvest to market corn, as opposed to soybeans, also in the same breath saying we understand that soybeans are probably going to be sold across the scale. How well did producers do at that time in selling corn?
I think farmers were a little bit more tight-fisted when it came to the corn marketing. We saw much more beans percentage-wise sold in the fall, and I think I've heard that from other locations as well. The corn, there's just a little bit more fundamental reason to be friendly corn. The export demand, weekly export numbers continue to be very good. We know that ethanol demand, export-wise and domestic usage, is very strong. And then, as Sherman mentioned, you know, will the USDA lower the corn yield in Iowa specifically and for the U.S. in general next Friday? So there's three reasons right there why, and the fourth reason is Sherman mentioned too that Brazil has planted more beans. Well, they're planting more beans, that means they're planting less corn. And here in the U.S., I really believe that we'll see an increase in corn acre, or in bean acres next spring here in the U.S., and that means less corn acres. Very similar to 2013-2014, the last time we had high input costs and low corn prices, we had 95 million acres of corn planted. In 2013, we only had 90.5, 4.5 million less acres of corn in 2014. So the market did respond. The farmers did respond to the market signals of high input costs and low corn prices. And I'm not predicting a 4.5 million drop in corn acres, but it could be a sizable decrease in corn acres. So for all those reasons, I think farmers are a little bit more willing to hold on to corn and see what happens as we get, see what the weekly exports are, see what that USDA yield number is next Friday, and continue to see if input costs stay high on corn or not.
Logan Kimmel, how has Roche Ag been managing their corn sales through the harvest season?
Yeah, we've been incrementing here as the markets present some opportunities. And just to kind of add to Greg's points, which I think were all valid, one other thought we've kind of talked to producers about corn, but also beans would be the 2026 marketing, having an increment sold at these levels now, like on the beans, for example, if we do see an acreage shift like that play out, the November 26 new crop soybean contract, it's been some time above 11. So if you felt this year with the lack of opportunities, maybe undersold, if you're making your first sale up at these prices and that's your worst one for next year on your bean crop, it might be worth getting a start and, leaving yourself some room. But that's just another idea, getting a stake in the ground there for the new crop soybeans. I think when we look at the corn as folks, most guys found bin space and are hanging tight here, looking for the basis to come around, the futures to come around. I think right now we've ran into a little resistance on the old crop corn, at least on the technical standpoint. 200-day moving average, the October highs, it seems like this 450 on the March has been an area that's served as resistance. So making some sales up here wouldn't be a bad idea on old crop corn. Looking for the market to get a catalyst to get above this resistance. And I think, as mentioned before, if that happens, having target orders in to make old crop sales, but also on 2026, it might be a good market to do that, given how much, how volatile swings we've had off headlines. If you have open orders in and you sit down, this is a good time of year to maybe sit down and look at your budgeting. What levels can you make money? What levels would you, have orders in to make those sales? I think this is a good time of year to sit down and put a plan together to do so.
I want to follow up with you for just a bit, Logan, because if producers have been listening to the program here from Illinois Public Media, the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both, they have likely heard many analysts say soybeans don't spend much time in $11 when they go across $11. They manage to move fairly quickly, usually to 12 or maybe not. So the question then is, what fundamental reasons do you support making 2026 cash sales or sales of some sort, even on paper, for those soybeans, maybe even for some corn? And are there downside objectives that you would use with a producer to say this is the risk that you have at this point?
Yeah, I mean, there could be a number of catalysts as we head into the winter. One most recent would be increased China demand. We haven't really seen that. There's been chatter of it, no signed deal yet, but you throw a weather problem in South America, that could be a reason to propel beans up through that $11 level to the 12. Certainly, I would think if there was a drought in South America, that'd be achievable. If a producer is worried about that, there's opportunities to still keep your upside, on the board after taking off risk in the cash market. So if you get a better and bigger market, maybe beyond this $11 to $12 range, there's still ways to participate in that with, maybe having a call option behind a sale. But I think it is important, as the markets, there's been a trend change here in the beans especially, to remind producers that, as we've seen a dollar rally, it's usually a good spot to consider doing some marketing. And again, if you want to have that upside still for weather event this winter, or increase Chinese demand. There's still ways to manage that, but cash sales, I think, are important along the way.
Sherman Newland, as you've been getting some new and different kinds of analytics coming from Zahner Ag Hedge, what are you hearing from them about the Brazilian crop, the size of that crop, what it means to prices at the CME Group?
Well, I mean, it's like I said earlier, I mean, Brazil's going to have a lot more acres. The increase, right now, if they have the size of crop that some are predicting, I mean, it's going to, put a lot more beans out into the world, right? And they've really taken over. So I think that's going to be, weighing on this market without some sort of weather scare. China has been going down there buying all their beans. They don't have to buy beans from us the way it looks, honestly. If they come here and buy some, okay. But the numbers that they're talking about aren't any more than what they have been buying in the past, which has been way down from where they were just a few years ago. So it definitely helps. But if they don't come back in and buy, then, that's definitely going to weigh on this market, especially with the size potential of what Brazil is going to be coming with. So I think, yes, there is upside potential. I mean, but I think it's going to take some sort of weather scare or something, either here next summer or there in South America, to push us significantly higher. You guys were, we're talking about what are we going to do for next year? I'm going to be more corn, next year. It does work out better for me. You can get a better yield with corn. Potentially, the last 3 years in a row, we've had a drought in August that has just decimated our soybean crop in a lot of places. So I think, a lot of guys are going to look at this and say, yeah, inputs are high, but I can still do better with corn regardless, because 60 bushel beans and $10 price doesn't work on my farm. So I think there's that out there that, guys are going to be looking at. I do think there will see, be an increase in bean acres. I don't think the guys out west are going to plant, corn on corn. They hit a home run this year. They got corn and they had some good rain out there. So a lot of places had some really good yields that they typically don't get. But I don't think they're going to, do that. So I do see an increase in corn acres, decrease in corn acres. But probably not to the degree that some may be thinking.
Greg Johnson, can you take up soybean crush for me and what demand looks like domestically in the United States? And if you could, and I don't know that you have read or thought very much about the article that the FarmDoc team has written on what US EPA has done over the last 6 months with three different decisions that they believe could push demand for soybean oil from 5 billion to 7.5 billion gallons. And what that really kind of might mean for the marketplace. They also have not written their implications, and I know enough about this that those implications may not be as strong as what that 40 or 50% increase sounds like. So have you gotten any thoughts or read any more about those kinds of things in domestic usage?
Yes, the crush numbers are definitely going up domestically, due to the government policies. The incentive is to, produce as much renewable biodiesel here in the U.S. as possible. The other thing is the U.S. has also stopped paying the dollar per gallon used cooking oil, so China and other countries cannot get paid for exporting their used cooking oil here. So that means that domestic users here have to use U.S. produced biodiesel. So that is also helping the crush numbers out here. So for a variety of reasons, the crush numbers are definitely going to be stronger. Now the question is, has the USDA lowered the export number enough? They raised the crush number, but they haven't. They've lowered the exports a little bit, but do they really think China's going to buy all those beans this year? In which case, maybe that export number is pretty close to being accurate, or will that export number have to come down, which will offset some of the bullishness of the crush numbers?
It will be interesting to see in the Friday WASDE next week whether USDA changes the export figures. They will accommodate the 12 million metric tons, I suppose. I guess that's considered a policy in place. Logan Kimmel, have you developed at Rochag a balance sheet for next week and its predictions?
Yeah, I think the biggest, numbers to look at obviously are going to be the yield. And, given what the spreads have done, the strength here in the market, I wonder if the corn yield comes down. Big question is how much. What effect did the late August dryness have, and as well as disease pressure? Folks we're talking to, I think, have alluded to maybe the corn crop in certain areas not being as good as maybe they thought at middle summer. The beans, tough to tell, but that's what I would look for is possibly a slightly reduced corn yield, and soybeans is a little more of a toss up. That might stay pretty well where it's at from our opinion here.
Sherman, your balance sheet picks for next week?
You saw a lot of numbers come out this week, stones and some of the others still in the mid 180s. We're not going to be that high. I think we're going to be 182, maybe 182 and a half on corn. Like Logan said, I think the guys in the West are hurt in Iowa, especially. In Illinois, I think needs to come down as well. But, I don't think a 182 or 3 is out of the question. Beans, again, that one's a little bit tougher. I mean, personally, I think it needs to be closer to 52, but I think, you're probably going to see something closer to 53 on the yield as far as that goes. So I don't know if you're going to, from what I understand, they're taking the same measures they've always taken to come up with these numbers. The plot data, the yield data, the surveys are all going to be handled like they've always done. So hopefully, whether you like the numbers or not, that's what we're going to have to trade.
And Greg Johnson, if you've got some WASDE figures for me, that'd be great. If not, and or your final word for the day.
Yeah, USDA is using 186.7. I agree with Sherman that maybe eventually we get to 182. I just don't think they'll do that all in one fell swoop. So I could see them trimming two and a half bushels off of the corn estimate, and maybe a half a bushel, taking that from 53 and a half down to 53. And then eventually, maybe if the crop really isn't there, adjusting those numbers downward later on. But for 1 month, I think two and a half bushels is a pretty significant move. So I guess I'm not looking for the five bushel drop yet, all in one fell swoop, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if we see that eventually.
With that, we'll wrap things up. Thank you very much. You've been listening, of course, to Commodity Week from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Our thanks go to our panelists for the day. They include Greg Johnson at TGM here in Champaign County, Illinois, Logan Kimmel of Rochag out of Naperville, Illinois, and Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities, the division of Zahner Ag Hedge, out of Hudsonville, Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.